Now, the midterm elections ended without widespread claims of fraud and without disruptions at voting locations. In other words, the election was pretty normal. While the midterms came and went without many issues, our next guest says there's still work to be done on state and local election administration, especially before the presidential election in a couple years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you voted in person, did you experience longer lines than anticipated? Was it what you expected? If you voted by mail, did that go smoothly? And if you worked on the election, maybe at a polling station on election day, love to hear your experience, maybe your thoughts on what could work better, even if it's just have more people working at the polling place. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Stewart III is the Kenan Sahin Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He's also director of the MIT Election Lab. He co-wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal with Nathaniel Persley called "The Midterms Revealed the Real Challenges Facing Our Elections." Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
In your op-ed, you describe the election as being, as I just said, fairly normal. What do you mean by that?
Well, by normal, we mean that a lot of people showed up to vote. The results were known fairly quickly in most places. There were minimal number of disruptions reported in the news, and almost all of the candidates behaved themselves, including the ones who lost.
Yeah, a lot of what we define as normal, I guess, is based on the things that didn't happen. No widespread claims of fraud. There were fears of disruptions maybe at polling stations for one reason or another. Were we just too worried, or did we do something right that prevented those things from happening?
It's a bit of both. I mean, I would emphasize the latter, which is that we, and by which I mean election officials mostly at the local level and the workers in the polling places, did what they normally do, which is pay attention to the details and, you know, get this huge logistical operation up and running and successfully completed. I do think in retrospect that many people in the public and some who were kind of prominent figures sometimes went a little too hair on fire worrying about this election. And I think we learned a lot from this midterm election about how to assess the worst case scenarios that may show up on election day.
And before we go into some of those suggestions for the future, there was some reporting that election officials at state and local levels were more proactive than, say, in 2020 at countering misinformation or disinformation about how things were going. Did you see that in action?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of places, especially the most technologically savvy or social media savvy, were very aggressive in getting the message out find the facts, reach out to trusted election officials for information. Many of them were holding what I call petting zoos for election equipment to really show what the equipment is like, and had very well-designed websites with a load of information, press appearance, and those sorts of things. And so I think particularly in larger jurisdictions and jurisdictions that might have a more savvy kind of population access to more sophisticated media outreach, we saw an awful lot of that, and I'm sure that made a big difference.
Now, that said, did you see hiccups of various sorts that, you know, we might have been able to skate by in a midterm but might be a bigger problem in a higher turnout election like a presidential election year?
Well, I think, you know, the things that we saw were, you know, were small hiccups, as you call them, but that's normal for a midterm. You know, turnout in a midterm is about 60% of what it is in a presidential election. The big problems that emerge on election day, especially in a presidential year, have to do with capacity and being up against the limits or beyond the limits of the capacity of the system. So, you know, we saw little things this time, which were hiccups, but could be bigger problems in the future. I'll list a couple of them. One was reports of long lines in some places. Another was this problem of recruiting enough of election workers in many places. That may have led to long lines, but it certainly led probably led to mistakes being made on election day with recording what needs to be recorded. There was also, you know, there were controversies. In fact, Wisconsin was one of the places where there was controversies around, say, drop boxes and the details around how mail ballots would be handled, whether they could be pre-processed, whether they could be processed without a date on them, even if they had been, if they had arrived before election day, things like that, which, you know, would be small in number in a midterm because of the nature of the electorate. But in a presidential election where the stakes are much higher, particularly with the presidential office, you know, you can take a, you know, one state or one locality with a drop box controversy, and you could blow that up into an entire, you know, entire battleground state or a couple of battleground states. And, you know, that would be, well, maybe a repeat of 2020.
Talking to Charles Stewart, a political scientist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, director there of the MIT Election Lab, looking at lessons from the midterm election, ways we can improve voting and elections in the future. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions for our guest, your experiences as a voter or someone working maybe at a polling station or at a clerk's office. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Andy is with us in Appleton. Andy, hi.
Hey, Rob and Charles. Pleasantries. I have, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, so I feel like I got a stake in being an American and vote every chance I get. I love the mail-in ballots or drop boxes and getting a chance to research the candidates as well as referendums before I cast a vote and feel like it's thoughtful. But my question, my reason for calling in was, I think we had about roughly 2.7 million people voted in this midterms. I know there's a lot of excitement about voting. We had 3.5 roughly million people in Wisconsin who are registered voters. But Wisconsin estimates we have 4.5 roughly million people eligible to vote. So that's a million gap somewhere in there. And how do we encourage people to be registered voters easier?
Andy, thanks a lot for the call. There's a lot there, Charles, when it comes to voter turnout. Are there ways in the election system to make it, I don't know, less frictiony, make it easier for people who want, as Andy does, to make that move from non-voter to voter?
Absolutely. And we need more people like Andy who vote in a re-election. I mean, I think that's great. Yeah, you know, this is one of the great conundrums in the United States. I mean, I think that, you know, in Wisconsin, I mean, Wisconsin has one of the highest turnout rates in the United States. And Wisconsin actually is almost as frictionless as possible in voting. You have election day registration. You have a tradition of high turnout. There are some small things that could be done in Wisconsin, but you know, the statistics that were cited, I think, suggest just how really hard nationwide it would be to get everybody to vote, short of making voting compulsory. As a kind of one shot item, the one item that I usually emphasize that's not talked about a lot is emphasizing the registration of young people. Again, Wisconsin is already, you know, it's very, very easy in Wisconsin to register and to change your registration. But that's not the case nationwide. And in the United States, our biggest turnout and registration gap is with people who are 30 years of age and younger. The main problem there is that that's a highly mobile population, and they're hard to follow by the campaigns. They just kind of fall off the radar and when every time they move. And so if we could do things to instill the habit of voting among young people, that could include pre-registration of 16 and 17 year olds, which is allowed in many, many states, taking the advice of Wisconsin, and having election day registration so that people who've been highly mobile can show up and vote, even if they've moved since the last election and can prove that they are who they are. I mean, that's something that I would really emphasize, is getting young people on the polls, or rather, yeah, getting young people signed up. That helps to start the habit, and then it gets them on the list of the candidates, and then the candidates are the ones who actually work hard to get those people who are registered to the polls.
Andy, thanks for that call. Charles, I want to start to get into some of your recommendations for the future now. The heart of this Wall Street Journal piece I mentioned, one, you'd like to see Congress put up some money and resources to help with things like, you know, worker registration and smoothing things out at the polls. What kind of things could the federal government do?
Well, I think, as you mentioned, providing funding could really be the most important thing the federal government can do. I think it's very fraught. If I could step back just for about 10 seconds to note that Congress did have this bill, H.R. 1, that this bill, H.R. 1, that you know, made it, was making its way through Congress. It was a very prescriptive bill. It was very divisive. And I kind of thought from the beginning it would never get through Congress because of the divisiveness. And even if Manchin and Sinema had come along earlier, something else would have happened. And so I think that being very prescriptive at the federal level is something that's not to be advised. But paying for elections could be advised. And I think that there's a good formula that we could use to put federal payments for election administration on a solid footing. And that would be a great thing, an appropriate way, I think, for the federal government to be more involved in helping to support elections.
We're talking to Charles Stewart III, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at MIT, Director there of the MIT Election Lab, talking about the election system in the U.S., how it functioned during the midterms, some changes that could help them go more smoothly in the future. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. As a voter, how did things go for you? Are there things you think could be done to make it better, to make you more confident in your vote? If you work on elections, or maybe you did it for the first time this midterms, love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Charles Stewart III, Distinguished Professor of Political Science at MIT, talking about the voting system in the U.S., how it did during the midterm election, possible improvements for the future. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Martha is with us in Menominee. Martha, hi.
Hey, Rob. As usual, I love what you're doing there on this show.
Thanks.
You know, when I was a resident of Virginia, I got my driver's license at 16. I was automatically pre-registered to vote. And then at 18, I got a card in the mail that said, okay, you're a registered voter. Here's your polling location based on your address. You know, polls are open from this time to this time on election day. Next election is whenever, you know. And then it said, you know, if your address changed between, you know, now and when you get this, let us know. But otherwise, that was it. You were in. So, you know, and you had your driver's license. I think they did it because most people, when they're 16, they don't move between 16 and 18, you know. So it was a pretty secure system.
Martha, thanks a lot for sharing that story. That's backing up what you were talking about earlier, Charles, a way to get younger people ready to rock on voting day.
Absolutely.
Martha, thanks a lot for that call. Do we see a trend toward more states doing that? We don't in Wisconsin, for example.
Right. There was a movement for a while for more states doing pre-registration. There's been a bit of a backlash in some Republican-controlled states to undo pre-registration. So it's moving very slowly. I think the issue is that many Republicans are noting that young people are overwhelmingly supporting Democratic candidates these days, which makes it a hard sell, particularly in a state that has a so-called Republican trifecta.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Charles, I want to ask about another part of the Wall Street Journal piece. You say, you know, if it's a question of speed or accuracy when in counting votes, everybody agrees accuracy is more important, but speed matters too. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we're blessed in the United States in that, although there haven't, we're living through a period of great controversy over our elections. We've not had the degree of controversy that we see in many other countries around the world. And one of the things that election observers have established that really a best practice is to get the election results out to the public as quickly as possible and as transparently as possible. So we've seen in this country that as it takes longer to count votes, it gives an opening to people who would sow discord and misinformation to suggest that something nefarious is going on, that there are people in the back room with printing presses and printing out ballots with their favorite candidate on it. So there is a real value to speeding up the count so long as it is, you know, done quickly. Most of the country actually is able to get, you know, 90-95% of their votes counted, certainly by the Wednesday morning following Election Day. And even many states that don't allow the pre-processing of mail ballots make really good progress on Election Day. And so, you know, states make choices, policy choices, local governments make policy and resource allocation source choices that largely determine how quickly the election returns are reported to the public. And so, I mean, I think we see examples, even in this election, which was pretty normal, of election deniers wanting to focus on the long count in some of the states, especially out west, to suggest that there's something nefarious going on. And there's really only one way to nip that one in the bud, and that's to be serious about the speed of counting and not just to dismiss the issue by just saying, well, we're going to be accurate at the expense of being fast. You can have both to a certain degree.
Let's go back to our callers. Randy is with us in La Crosse. Randy, hello.
Well, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 70, so I've been voting for a long time, and almost every election I voted for the lesser of two evils. So if we could solve that dilemma, we might encourage more people to want to come out and vote. Also, if we had direct referendum, I think every election there should be two or three direct referendums on the ballot so that the people could actually start to be governed by their own desires.
Randy, thanks for the call. Charles, of course, we in Wisconsin can read headlines about other states and their ballot referenda, their binding ones. Here in Wisconsin, we have non-binding advisory ones at the county or local level. Constitutional amendments have to get passed twice by the legislature, and then they go to voters. But that's it. We don't have that. Do you have thoughts on pros or cons of states moving toward binding statewide referenda that at least Randy would like to see more of?
Right. Well, you know, that's very interesting. I have to say it is a bit of a surprise given the progressive history of Wisconsin that y'all don't have what's known as the initiative, citizen initiative for legislating. Well, you know, in terms of turnout, there does appear to be a pull to having initiatives on the ballot. I've recently quipped that if you want a high turnout election, make sure you put a recreational marijuana question on the ballot, because you'll get you get another 5% of the vote to turn out just because of a pot referendum. And you also, you know, oftentimes states will put these initiatives on low turnout elections, like the spring primaries, during the midterm elections, and they do actually get more people to the polls, and it does make those elections more representative of what the electorate is than in those otherwise small or low turnout elections.
Thanks for calling in, Randy. Charles, we got through this midterm election, as you said earlier, with a pretty normal election. Do you have hopes that some of the changes you're looking for would find support in Congress, bipartisan support in Congress, or at the state level to get some of these changes and better support for polling stations and such in place for the 2024 presidential elections?
Yes, a couple of things really quickly. First of all, they're in the current appropriations bill moving through Congress in the lame duck. I understand that there's several hundred million dollars allocated to election administration, probably for security. I could be wrong about that, but there is seriousness in Congress about the federal government paying its fair share, and that's a good down payment. So I'm hoping that that stays in the bill. That would be wonderful for Congress to do. At the state level, I think in general, one of the things I've noticed in the past year as I've gone around the country talking to state legislatures and election officials all over the place, including in many of these states, red and purple states, where there's really been a lot of tension, that there is a hunger, actually, when you talk to legislators privately about election administration. There is a hunger to get back to more evidence-based legislating in the election administration realm. And so I'm hoping, now that the temperature has been turned down a little bit, that when the state legislatures convene in January, there will be greater interest in, you know, dealing with issues of the speed of counting, mail ballots, recruiting election officials or election workers, threats against election workers, and those sorts of things. I think there is an opening that we have over the next several months to take advantage of this kind of era of good feeling in election administration.
Charles, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's Charles Stewart, the third Distinguished Professor of Political Science at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, director of the MIT Election Lab. He joined us to talk about a piece he co-wrote for the Wall Street Journal. It's called "The Midterms Revealed the Real Challenges Facing Our Elections." Still time for you to share your thoughts. If there's an election change you'd like to see here in Wisconsin, email ideas@WPR.org.